Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hey, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast. And today, I'm going to be talking about relationships, relationship coaching, how to make relationships better, and how to improve intimacy in your relationship. And to accomplish that, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Richard Nicastro, who is a psychologist and relationship coach with 15 years of experience helping couples build stronger, more fulfilling relationships. Dr. Nicastro has lectured at several universities and now conducts workshops for couples on a wide range of relationship issues. His relationship advice has appeared on television, radio, and in national magazines. His goal is to guide individuals and couples as they implement the skills that will allow their relationship to flourish. Dr. Nicastro has developed the Healthy Relationship Program. It's a comprehensive e-workshop series for couples. The program is designed for individuals and couples eager to acquire the essential relationship tools needed to create a meaningful, lasting union. You can read Dr. Nicastro's relationship articles by visiting his website, www.strengthenyourrelationship.com. Dr. Nicastro also offers individuals and couples a free 30-minute relationship checkup conducted over the phone. Visit his website for details about how to schedule a relationship checkup. And now, let's meet Dr. Richard Nicastro. So, Richard, welcome to The Shrink Is In.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And as you can tell by the intro, today we're obviously going to be talking about, you know, relationship issues and relationship coaching. And since that's your specialty, I thought it'd be great to have you on board today to talk about relationship issues, coaching, and that relationship checkup that you have. So I guess my first question would be, as you see it, Richard, what are the main challenges that couples face today?
Well, one of the main issues that I'm hearing from many of the couples that I work with, they're living lifestyles that are not pro-relationship. Mm-hmm. There's such a hecticness, and people are, they have so many competing priorities that their relationship really gets left on the curb. And that is really causing a lot of problems for a lot of couples, because what ends up happening is that little by little the energy of the relationship really starts going down, and they don't nurture it the way a marriage or a relationship, the way it should be nurtured, which is really a living entity that needs ongoing attention. So I see our lifestyles today as the central problem for many relationships. And what a lot of couples end up doing is they end up trying to squeeze their relationship into their lifestyle. And often that's a good first step, but very often that's not enough. And I think also another issue is that we live in a society that we get things when we want them, and that's really central on the internet, and the information that we need is always accessible to us. So people are becoming more and more used to getting what they want immediately, and I think we have really a generation of people who are not developing good frustration tolerance skills, the ability to kind of wait for what they want and work hard to get what they want, and I think that's an essential skill for a healthy relationship. And I think many people are losing sight of that skill, and they don't bring that into their relationship. So if the relationship isn't working right away, what they do is they become frustrated and they'll give up, or they'll try to move on rather than really deal with whatever issues may be on the table.
Mm. So it's a product of our instant society. And,
I think that is definitely, I'm noticing that in especially the younger generations that I'm working with, a real kind of a mindset of, why do I have to be dealing with this? Why do I have to, if it's not working, if it's not making me happy, why should I wait around? I hear that a lot also, that if it's not making me happy, and I think that's an unrealistic expectation that the relationship is there just to make them happy, and that becomes their a couple's barometer of whether a relationship is working or not. And I think that's a big mistake for a lot of couples to solely focus on that issue.
You know, I kind of see the same thing. And again, it's really, as you said, the younger kids, younger population. You know, I hate aging myself or dating myself, but I'm a lot older. And I also see that kind of, you know, that sense that there's almost an entitlement and a sense of, you know, things are supposed to be easy and they're not supposed to have to work at a relationship, that it's supposed to automatically click. And they have difficulty with the fact that it doesn't really work that way, you know, and they're kind of enamored with each other in the first year or two when everything is rosy. But then by the third year or so, you start to see that the relationship should turn into something much more powerful, but it's not this, you know, kind of like blind gaga experience any longer.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up an excellent point that, the beginning of the relationships are really a heavy experience for many people, and if they don't realize that their relationship is going to go through a series of changes, then they're going to continue working from those unrealistic expectations and expect that the relationship should continue to be this blissful experience where we always feel connected and we always feel attuned to each other, rather than a more realistic view of, hey, there's going to be good times and bad times, and we need to work at this. And we know that if you work at something and then achieve it, it's often much more meaningful rather than when something falls in your lap. So that's something I think a lot of younger couples need some education about that also.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what do you see the warning signs that couples should look out for? You know, the signs that their relationship might be going down the wrong road, or there are problems?
I think there's a couple of important ones here. One is that the couple stops prioritizing their relationship. There's many competing priorities that people have, and they need to make a conscious decision to put their relationship first. Another warning sign I see that when the communication style or the communication patterns of the couple fall more into the area of criticism and defensiveness, when that starts becoming a more regular part of how couples interact with each other, that's a big warning sign. That's something that problems, you know, are developing, and the couple needs to take a serious look at the relationship. Another one is that if you're in a relationship and you're choosing to get most of your emotional needs met outside of the relationship, emotional needs that should be being met by your spouse or partner, to me that's a very important warning sign. And I think there's this epidemic out there of people having emotional affairs with people rather than bringing those needs into the relationship. So those are three important things that I think couples should really look out for.
You know, the emotional relationships you speak of, I think that's a huge problem that I see in the patients that I work with, because one of the partners doesn't see it as a problem. And would say, well, you know, I have this person at work who I, you know, I spend a lot of time with, and I talk to them about what's going on in my life, and they talk to me, and we call each other all the time and kind of try to help each other. And it's to me stealing time and attention away from their spouse. And it's hard for them to see that. They don't get it. And it's clearly intruding upon the relationship. But they think, well, since I'm not physical with that other person, what's the problem? You know, I haven't done anything, so it's okay. But
yeah, I think that's a real slippery slope that people have to watch out for. You know, if you start looking forward to speaking with this person, excuse me, if this person becomes becomes the go-to person when something's going wrong in your life or when you want to share something positive. I mean, that go-to person should be and is supposed to be your spouse or partner.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, if you're developing an intense emotional relationship with someone and that person becomes the preferred person where you share these highs and lows, you share the vulnerable parts of yourself, you're creating, I think, a recipe for that relationship becoming something more than just a platonic relationship.
Yeah, my approach has always been, if you're doing something with another person that in any way, shape, or form takes away time from your marriage or your relationship with your partner, it's a problem. And it may be kind of broad, but that's how I kind of give it to my clients so that they understand that if it's intruding, even if it's, you know, in your mind innocent, if it's taking away from your relationship with your partner, in my book, it's a problem.
Yeah, and what I would add to that is if you're saying something to this other person that you wouldn't say if your partner was standing next to you, mm-hmm. then you shouldn't be saying it.
No, that's good. I like that.
I really ask, you know, the couples that I work with, pretend your partner's there standing on your shoulder and use that as a guide of what's appropriate and what may not be so appropriate in terms of these other relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that. I want to remind my audience, I'm talking to Dr. Richard Nicastro, who's a psychologist and relationship coach for the last 15 years, helping couples build stronger, more fulfilling relationships. Richard, I want to ask, there's relationship coaching and therapy and marital therapy. What is relationship coaching and how does it differ from marital therapy?
I think there's a couple of central ways that it differs. What I call relationship coaching therapy light.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean if a couple calls me up and I plan on doing coaching, relationship coaching with them, and they're in major conflict or major distress, I'm going to send them to a marriage counselor. And one of the reasons that is that a lot of coaching gets done by phone. And if there's a high conflict or a volatile couple, I want to be able to see what's going on. I want to be able to see their reactions and how they're relating to each other. So with relationship coaching, there is overlap with marriage counseling, but you shouldn't be dealing with high conflict, explosive issues. Another thing that I think is important is that marriage counseling and counseling and therapy in general is designed to treat mental illness, a diagnosable mental disorder. Coaching should not be used to treat someone who's experiencing panic attacks or major depression, or if they're in a relationship and the relationship is so distressful that it's causing something like depression or anxiety. So that's one of the major ways that it differs. Another way is that coaching should really focus on more the present and work with a person and a couple's strengths that already exist, in the individual. So there isn't the delving into the past that you may that couples or individuals may experience in more psychodynamic oriented therapy. So those are some of the important ways that I see relationship coaching as being different.
Mm-hmm.
So typically an ideal relationship coaching client would be a couple who they feel their relationship is okay, but they want something more. They want to bring it to the next level. I think then coaching could really be helpful.
I know that you offer your personal clients something called a relationship checkup. Could you explain what that is?
Yes, and one of the things that I like to ask couples and individuals is, and I'll ask this to you, but when was the last time you went for a physical?
Probably a year ago.
A year. And most people say, you know, a year, 2 years ago. Then I'll ask, when was the last time you went for a dental checkup? People may say a year ago, a couple of years ago. And then I'll ask, when was the last time you had your car tuned up? And people will say, oh, I get the oil changed every so-and-so thousand miles. And then I'll ask, when was the last time you had your relationship checked up? And there's silence.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship checkup, it's needed in that the checkup is a preventative medicine model. Right now, couples, here's the option I see couples having. Their relationship starts falling apart, they're in distress, and they go to a couples or a marriage counselor. And that's what the couples counselor is for, to deal with these painful issues going on in relationships. But what happens if the couple is not suffering? There's no model in which to kind of check periodically how their relationship is going, and if there are any problems that are just starting to develop that may need some attention. So I see the relationship checkup as an alternative model to really solely relying on couples therapy or marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And to do, in my mind, a relationship checkup should be done like a physical checkup. When you go to a medical doctor, the doctor doesn't just randomly, you know, check you. The doctor, he or she, checks different systems in your body, your heart, your lungs, your respiratory system, your digestive system. And the relationship checkup is the same thing, that a couple's the overall health of the relationship, the different major categories of a relationship, for instance, communication, or how a couple is socializing. Those are two examples of two categories.
Mm-hmm.
Different categories of the relationship should be looked at. And what I do is I have couples, each member of the couple, rate from a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being this area is really great in my relationship, how each of their categories they feel are going. And the surprising thing is I actually did a relationship checkup with a couple, that sometimes when the couples come together, the husband in this case, it was the issue of emotional intimacy. For him, he rated it an 8 out of 10. Really
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
He was connected to his wife. His wife gave it a 3 out of 10.
Wow.
He was floored. He had no idea she felt this way. So because of this checkup, you know, we're able to determine, hey, these are the really strong and healthy areas of your relationship. And these are the areas that it may need some attention. And very often, you know, you may get a thumbs up over, you know, with the whole relationship, and that's great. You know that it's healthy. But at times we're able to, when we do this preventative medicine model, catch things early on, like for this couple, and say, okay, you know, your wife has rated it 3. Why is that? And what could be done? Rather than letting that problem linger, like happens so often for so many couples, until she's dissatisfied, until she's angry and wounded and hurt, and he's confused about what's going on. So it's a preventative medicine model that I think the field of psychology and social work really needs to start adapting and offering this to couples.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you have this comprehensive workbook series for couples. And is that something that people can get on your website?
That will be. We're in the process of putting that up,
mm-hmm.
And it should be available within the month. And it's a 7-module workbook series that really focuses on the major areas of the relationship. And it's really designed to give couples a workout, to give their relationship a workout. So I tell people, if you're looking to read something and not really work hard, this program isn't going to be for you. This is for couples who really want to roll up their sleeves and make a change in their relationship. But people can go to the website, and there's more information about my relationship checkup and my monthly newsletter, so they could definitely sign up for the checkup.
And your website is www.strengthenyourrelationship.com, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. One more question for you. What steps can couples take to deepen their intimacy in their relationship?
if we look at life as this race with the, you know, we're running around in a circle, what we need to do is create pit stops along the way. So I think couples need to develop the mindset and concept that they need to take time out for themselves. And by doing that, they need to, that could be 15 minutes a night, it could be a half an hour in the morning, where the focus, they really create this protected time, this sanctuary, where the focus is just on the relationship and on each other. And here's the task during that time. All they have to do is slow down, be present for each other. Now, mm-hmm. that's easier said than done, because many couples that I ask to do that, they're sitting across from their spouse, and they're thinking, okay, when I get to work, I got the meeting at 3 o'clock, I got the presentation. So they really need to retrain their mind that when they're with their partner during this protected time, that they give all their attention and focus to that person. And during that time, simply ask, how are you doing? You know, we've been running around. I feel like I haven't seen you. How are you? But don't ask the question like the cashier at Walmart will ask, hey, how are you? And you automatically say, oh, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Ask it in a serious way and sit and wait for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait and be present. So I think that's something that could really help counter this the environment and the lifestyles that we're living in that are not pro-relationship. And the other thing I tell people is begin to show more gratitude for each other. There's so much research now showing that gratitude is such an important element in lifting our own moods, but also lifting our partner's moods.
Mm-hmm.
So really, a simple exercise is keeping a gratitude list. Why are you thankful for your partner? And maybe each day waking up and asking yourself that, what am I thankful for this person being in my life? Rather than where our attention typically goes is what's not working in our life. That always screams for attention. But the things that are working really get overlooked, and we start expecting that things should work, that, you know, my partner makes coffee every day, he should make it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just holding on, you know, developing those expectations, you know, my wife's wonderful with the kids, she takes them to school every day, she should. Instead of developing the should mindset, really stopping and saying, I'm thankful for the cup of coffee he or she makes me every day. I'm thankful that I have the type of partner who's a great parent with the kids. So really starting to see and think about your relationship in a different way, if you're able to incorporate that into your daily life, it will deepen intimacy and really strengthen your relationship. It takes ongoing work, but the payoff is so worth it.
Mm, yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because I have couples in my office who will say that they have no time together, between working. You know, they both work, and then they have young kids at home, and they can't find any time to go out, even like, you know, like, because I ask them to go out on dates and spend time to go back and try to recapture what attracted them to each other originally. And they say, well, we have no time. And I say, well, wait a second, hold it. You're sitting here in my office. That means you have a babysitter at home. And they say, yes. I say, so why don't you, after this session, go out, go to a diner, have a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, sit there, talk to each other. You have the time. And it like doesn't dawn on them that that's time that they could use. You know, it doesn't even occur to them because their attitude is, we have to rush home.
Yeah.
And again, they're not taking their relationship as important as it is and not building on their relationship. And it just, you know, as you said in the beginning, that they're so tied up in all these other priorities that they forget about their relationship, and it becomes, you know, low on the totem pole.
Yeah, and I think that's great that you do that. And we really do need to challenge couples, and couples need to challenge themselves around the issue of we don't have time.
Right.
Many times I'll ask couples, well, tell me about your life when you first met. And it's interesting that very often I'll hear that they had very hectic lives back then. Maybe they didn't have kids, but they were, you know, trying to get promoted at work, or they were in graduate school and working at the same time. But then it's a miracle somehow they found the time, even though their lives were very hectic at the beginning of the relationship also.
Right.
So very often when that's the case, I try to pull their attention there and say, I think the difference was not time, but priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that really needs to be emphasized. That and when, like you said, if you go for a cup of coffee, we're talking about 15 minutes.
Right.
And the challenge is during that 15 minutes, again, being present for each other, not thinking, okay, I'm sitting here in a diner, but boy, I got to get home because of the babysitter. I don't want to pay for the extra time and this and that. And when you, if you're going to do it and not be present, then it's not going to have any dividend for your relationship. So create the time, but also create the mindset of, well, I have this 15 minutes. This person sitting across from me is the only thing that exists for me in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we're able to retrain our minds to do that, it's, we're going to see a difference in the quality of how we feel about our partners.
Terrific. You know, Richard, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the information, and I hope my audience gets the message that this is important for their relationships. So I appreciate the time and effort that you've given us here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And just want to say to my audience, until next time, this has been Dr. Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.